Hello, this is Larry Clark with another episode of From the Composer from Excelsior Music Publishing. I'm talking today to composer Patty Drennan. Hello, Patty. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for asking.
Well, we're excited to have your music in our catalog, and we're excited to talk to you today. Could you just give us sort of a brief background of how you got into this crazy world of writing music?
Sure. I have always loved music. I played for years. We put ourselves through school, through college, actually, playing in for private parties and functions and Christmas events, and with my husband, a child. We were high school sweethearts and two others, and we put ourselves through school doing that. And I've always loved music. I got my undergraduate at Oklahoma State University while my husband, now husband, or forever husband, was getting a degree. And we went then to the University of Oklahoma, where he started law school, and I got my master's. So I began teaching following that for 28 years. I was in ninth grade through 12th grade primarily, but I also team taught at the middle schools. I did that for 28 years, then retired for 7 months, which wasn't long enough to be which wasn't even long enough to get my closets cleaned out. That was only for 7 months. And then, all the while I was still writing.
Yes.
Then I took my our church job as music and director of music and worship arts. And that was almost 10 years. So I had experience leading the orchestra, the choir, the Fine Arts Academy, and so on. But that was a part-time job. And I don't think my writing was really acknowledged as another full part-time job. And so it got to where I couldn't handle that as much. So I decided to go ahead and retire from that and just write full-time, doing as much as I want. Well, I'd love to present reading sessions for a number of publishers and do composer weekends and perform with our daughter, who is very, very musical in the New York State, in Long Island City in New York City. So we do some symphony shows and things together. And but I wanted to write full time and be able to do that. Of course, I also have 15 piano students now too. So I can't say that I'm just writing full time, but that's kind of where I am.
Well, that's typical of musicians. We kind of do it all and do it all the time and love to do it and seem to never want to stop.
That's right.
So did you study composition in your college?
I only had the required course in my master's level. And so that was with Michael Hennigan, who has passed. But I had a semester with him, and that's really all I had. I was a music education major with piano emphasis. And so some of the true composer majors kind of looked down on people who weren't, you know, musical majors as the, and I kind of liked, I thought I turned out okay with just one course.
So essentially it's just been all sort of self-taught, you know, along with sort of the basic courses.
Right. And especially with teaching so long, I know what works with the voice, what students struggled with, the ranges, and I knew what worked for contests particularly. So I always tried to write something that would be beneficial to teachers who could use that as they compete or for festivals or whatever.
I find that's just a common theme in, you know, what we do, which essentially is called educational music, I guess. I'm not fond of that word necessarily, because somehow it seems to always connotate not necessarily as good as some other music, but folks that have been in education understand what students can and can't do and can write effectively for them.
Right.
And that's obviously evident in the music that you've written over the years as well.
So
talk to us a little bit about, because the listeners I'm sure will be interested in your process. How do you get started on a piece? Is it, especially with choral, is it lyrics first? Is it music first? How does that work?
You know, I love to collaborate with a number of writers. I would say my forte is the writing and arranging, the keyboard. That's my emphasis, and that's what I enjoy the most. So what I've done over the years, I've networked with a number of individuals The first being J. Paul Williams, who met me at a composer symposium back in the 80s in Nashville, and we connected, and he said, "Hey, I have some lyrics." And I said, "Well, let me see them." And so that's how I got started. He was very, very, it was a great way to craft the lyrics. I didn't have to work on them. I didn't have to edit. It just fell into place. And we did that and published probably at least 60 pieces before his passing. And then I, over the years, have just connected with other people that I've loved their writing. Or I love seeking out old public domain hymns or public domain text from the great classic authors and setting that to music. So that's kind of what I go with first. I'll something will strike me and I'll listen and just kind of sit down and play, see if it makes sense. And most often it usually does. There have been some pieces in the early years where I will come back and I go, "Whoa, what was I thinking when I wrote that?" Or someone was like, "Wow, I made that harder than I thought." But that's usually my beginning of how I start on a piece like that.
Sure. So then do the lyrics then start to dictate for you the direction the music will take?
Often I'll get an idea where this sounds like it should be a ballad or something slower, or if it sounds like it's needs to be a little bit more of tempo, then I look at that. I like to keep the variety in my writing. Some pieces, obviously, if it's about the resurrection, you're not going to have something up tempo. I mean, they're common sense and things like that. But I know for a fact that students, young students, sing better whenever it's something that's a little bit more up tempo, with it, because they have a lot harder time sustaining long phrases. If it's very slow, very quiet, they just haven't developed that ability to do that. And when they're performing it, consequently, the pitch will suffer or the energy will not be there. But you give them something that's up tempo, yeah, it works much better. They find a lot of success with that. So,
well, definitely as they develop, they have the sort of the musical ability improves and they'll able to do longer phrases. I think that's common even, you know, in my area, which is more instrumental.
Right.
Is you spend all your time as a youngster learning the technical part of the instrument, and then you get to college and then all they work on is lyrical.
Yes.
So that certainly correlates to that very much.
My husband is a long time trumpet player, and then a change to euphonium. So I totally get about breath support and phrasing and musicality and all that. And so that's another reason that it's great, because I feed off of him and he feeds off of me. And, cause it means a good sounding board to hearing a finished piece, and he'll put his stamp of approval on it, as well as my daughter and our son, who was a, 3-year all-stater in saxophone. So we come from a music family.
Excellent. Is when you compose, is it something you do on a regular basis on a schedule, or is it just whenever the mood hits you? How does that work?
I wish it were more scheduled like some of my friends do, but oftentimes if I get a piece, if I get an assignment, which I love doing because it forces me to sit down and create that and create the end project. But I do a lot of writing after hours. In fact, some of my best writing begins at 10 o'clock and might end at 2:30 in the morning. my joke is, I love Coke Zero and Diet Coke. And usually it's like, well, I finished a piece, but I still have Coke Zero left. Do I start another piece or what do? I go to bed. It's like a puzzle. And you finally, you know, get that last puzzle piece in, you know, then you just don't want to quit, and it's quiet. I'm going to put my headphones on and not come out of this office for a number of hours. So that's my best time. But then since I am home, I do try to do at least a couple hours, maybe 3 times a week, around my piano lessons that way.
Sure. Now, do you compose compose the old-fashioned way in paper and pencil, or do you use a computer?
I use Finale, and I have a Yamaha synthesizer that is MIDI'd up to that. So I go completely through playing on the synthesizer what I like to hear, and then I'll just input it immediately. But I have a number of friends who will say, well, I'll put it down on paper first, and then I'll go back and re-enter it. And I said, why would you do that? Because then you could have written another piece within that time that it takes to enter it. So I do the speedy entry. Just I don't play it in because there are too many edits that you have to do.
Yes, yes. But,
I like just doing it because then you can play it back and think, no, I don't like that, or ooh, that's nice, or then it gives you an opportunity. Well, there's a little spot where we need to have an obbligato part, or this doesn't sound like we need an interlude, or we need something else. So the playback on is great, except the little man in Finale never makes a mistake. So you have to play the piano parts exactly right. Then you can figure out, oh, that's too hard.
Yeah, the notation programs certainly have made our lives as composers a lot easier.
Exactly, exactly.
And I'm with you. I used to write, you know, before Finale, in paper and pencil, but then same thinking, it just became cumbersome to do that and then go to the computer. The difference I do with, you know, like instrumental music is I kind of do sort of a sketch, but on the score itself.
Right. Right.
So to speak. So.
Well, and with you, with so many instruments, you've got to think, you know, here I'm working with a number of voices and a keyboard. But with you, you've got a number of, you know, parts, you know, because I've experienced with trying to experience a little bit more writing for orchestra and what needs to fill in the gap and things like that. And so that's my next thing is to know a little bit more about that and do some writing about that.
Well, we need to encourage you to write some band music too.
Well, I do. The farthest I'll get, it would be like a brass ensemble with timpani and things to go with the choral piece. But I haven't done the other as much, you know. So,
well, maybe we can twist your arm.
Yeah. Well, I can do a really cool version of Mary Had a Little Lamb with nice funny parts. You know? So maybe that'll be my first start.
So do you have any issues ever with writer's block? And if you do, how do you overcome those?
You know, I really don't. I might write something out and then come back the next day and see if I really like that, or if it doesn't resonate, then I'll just erase it and go from there. But as far as saying, I couldn't write for a week, I don't have that because I have a lot of ideas going through my head that I would like to put down on paper. I need to take more time to write. That's my biggest thing. So.
You feel like you just don't have enough time.
Yeah, it's not that I don't have enough time. It's do I make enough time to do that? Right. So
now, when you're putting together a piece, though, do you ever, you don't ever get to a spot where you just get stuck and don't know what to do next, and or you just stay with it until you work through it?
Usually I just stay with it and work through it. I figure out if I've got a verse and then I've got a chorus, and do I want to go back to the verse? I'll see which format that I want to do. And I may sketch some more things at the end of the piece so I don't have to throw away that idea. And then if I think, well, I like that, maybe I can insert it here. That's a nice thing about inserting measures and cut and paste. You can add a little bit more here and there. And then with the playback, I'll listen and listen and think, yeah, I really don't like that. Then I'll take it away. But that's so much easier than, you know, trying to imagine, well, what would this flute part sound like if I weren't doing something on music software?
So has your process changed over the years? Maybe since you've got more into the computer, or in any way that your process has changed in composing over the years?
I think the only thing that has changed is that I can get things done faster on Finale. There were years when it was so brand new that I just want to throw it against the wall. You know, there are too many other things that I couldn't figure out. And that was my biggest challenge. It's probably about the same thing. I'm able to compose faster, because I have more people that I can draw upon if I need, you know, a text mm-hmm. or whatever. So it's not a, a challenge, I don't think.
Now, do you feel like you're better challenged when you have a deadline that you have to meet?
That forces me to sit down. Yeah. it's like going to the Y and having a trainer that will, that you have to be accountable to, you know,
your right.
money. So you go to the Y. I could say, well, no, I'll just go. Well, I won't do it. And I'll get, I have other things that get in the way of sitting down and writing. So I really, that's the right. Having someone ask me, hey, I need this. Can you get it to me in a week? And sometimes it's been like 3 days. That's probably, the shortest assignment that I've had. But no, I can do that. And I consider it a challenge, and I want to,
yes.
Mm-hmm. I want to meet that challenge. I want to be on time, and I want to be accountable, and that's not a problem. But then there are other times when I'll just sit down and I'll look through some of my other text and I think, oh, this speaks to me. And once I get sat down and writing on it, then it's, I just really don't want to stop.
So, where do you draw inspiration? I mean, do you have certain composers' music or certain types of music you like to listen to that sort of just gets you excited?
Well, since I quit doing any outside choir, other than, you know, when somebody hires me to do it, I have always decided that I wanted to sing in a Black gospel choir. And so I have a friend who also was a teacher and directs now the 40th year of the Ambassadors Concert Choir in Oklahoma City. And 5 years ago, I just said, I'm going to join this choir. And it was very challenging to hear some of the chords that they were using. Mm-hmm. Very, very extended chords. I mean, it's not like, oh, that's a cool chord. What is, oh, that's a ninth plus an added this and that. And so I started doing that and listening to the stylistic ways that of the pieces that we were doing. So that allowed me to want to write some spirituals, a little bit more gospel music for the Freedom Come For Me. That was mm-hmm. one that I thought of. And that just gave me another venue to ride in, which I hadn't done. So that's something that I think that was important to me mm-hmm. to do something like that.
Well, what other types of music, maybe besides choral music, do you like to listen to, or choral music? In the old days, you say what's on your iPod, but yeah. I guess now it's what's on your phone.
Yeah. In the car with the Sirius XM, I just love hearing the old 60s because there's so many, brings back good music. I love listen to the gospel. Top female 40, some top 40s, the female singers. Some of it's, I just compare it and I think, ooh, is that going to last in 20 years? And,
right.
You know, just those kind of things. I like listening to great orchestral work, especially with soundtracks. I love getting, and so my son is that way too. John Williams, you know, listening to his work. His name escapes me that did Hidden Figures. I was just listening to the other night. Very, very creative and use of instruments. And I like studying that. What does this sound like? I never thought of combining for an obbligato part, you know, these four instruments, but when you put them together, they're very, very, very lovely.
Excellent. Well, Patty, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. Thank you so much. If people are interested in reaching out to you and maybe possibly commissioning to write a piece or want to know more about your music, where should they go? How can they reach out to you?
You can find just about everything at my website, www.pattydrennan.com. And that's Patty with an I, DRENNAN.com. There's information there about commissioning. A lot of my, probably 95% of my pieces that I've ever published are on there. You can listen. You can get ideas about what I've done, piano books, vocal books, you name it, anything I've written for school, for church, whatever, it's all there. And it has the same thing, it has the ability to contact me. And it's pattydrennan@gmail.com. That's what you'll get from an email. And so if you're interested, yeah, give me a shout.
Great. And I assume you like it when people tell you all about, you know, how they love your pieces and things like that.
Oh, I never get tired of it here. No, no.
I don't think any composer gets tired of that. No. So that's fabulous. So, and it's the last resort. Of course, if you can't find her website, you can come to the Excelsi Music Publishing website, excelsimusic.com. And we will definitely help you get in touch with Patty to find out more information.
Great.
Again, Patty, thanks for taking your time and talking to us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate talking with you as well.
Excellent. Well, that's another episode of From the Composer. I'm Larry Clark with Excelsi Music Publishing. Thank you for listening.